What is a repurchase agreement?
It's a debt security that's sold with the understanding that it'll be bought back.
It'll be bought back by the seller. That's exactly right. If you have U.S. Treasuries bills, you can sell the U.S. Treasury bills to someone with the agreement that you're going to buy them back in the future. And so you actually buy them back then at a little higher price than you sold them. Because in the meantime, you're going to be able to earn interest on the proceeds you got from the initial sale of the Treasury bills. Yes?
Repurchase agreement is not an instrument that banks use to finance liquidity overnight?
It is. It was also used by the Orange County Pension Plan. And they used it in a clever way. They didn't just do it once. They did it twice or three times. So what they would do is they would buy a position in Treasury. They would sell the position. They would get the proceeds. Now they would buy more Treasury bills. Now they might sell those, get the proceeds, and buy more Treasury bills. And now they had to buy back three sets of Treasury bills. So in effect, with the same amount of money, they now own three times as many Treasury bills as they had before. So they managed to lever themselves through this pyramiding of repurchase agreements. They were making higher returns for quite a while, and as long as interest rates are going down, they looked great. You should have been suspicious of them because they were making too much money. Then interest rates turned around, and they had also bigger positions than they'd started with, and they lost a great deal of money. That wasn't the only reason they lost money, but I think it was the major reason.
I think they actually were buying longer-term bonds and using those as collateral. So they were basically borrowing short and investing long.
They may have been doing that as well. Another question that I should ask you, whenever we talk about the riskless return, you may wonder, what is the riskless return? We're going to value options. We have to put in the riskless return. We're going to value forward contract. Put in the riskless return. You're going to accuse me of being too abstract if we don't talk about what it is. Will the riskless return please stand up? There are different instruments that you might use to calculate the riskless return. U.S. Treasuries may be the most obvious example. True, there is nothing in this world that's riskless, including U.S. Treasury bills. Most financial economists are willing to assume the U.S. government will meet its obligation on a U.S. Treasury bill. If you have an option that matures in a half a year, should you just go to a U.S. Treasury bill that matures in half a year, and then whatever the return on that, is that the riskless return for that option? Or should you use some of these other instruments? Anybody have an opinion about what's wrong with U.S. Treasury bills as a measure of the riskless return for someone living in the United States? Yes? The riskless returns we're going to talk about in this course only have to be riskless in a nominal sense. So inflation is not a problem in any of these models. Yes?
They have a slight tax advantage, don't they?
Good for you. What's the tax advantage?
I think they're exempt state tax.
Yes, that's right. So if you live in the state of California, I have to pay, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid I'm paying about 11%. In income taxes. If I get interest on U.S. Treasury bills, I don't have to pay that 11%. Imagine the Treasury bill rate was 10%. I'd be willing to take a 11% taxable position and be indifferent between that and a 10% U.S. Treasury bill. So there's a sense in which the riskless return on Treasury bills may be, if anything, a little low. And it's going to depend on what state you live in. And that's a criticism I have of U.S. Treasury bills. I would say the U.S. Treasury bills puts a floor on what it would be. And if anything, the riskless return probably is a little bit higher than that. Even if you've settled on Treasury bills, they come in different maturities and they have different riskless returns. The general rule is you look at the date the payoff is being made from the derivative, and you pick the Treasury bill that has the same or almost the same maturity as the derivative does, and you use that riskless return. Yes?
You say maturity, you mean like the duration measure of the maturity of the payoff? Or the actual, when you get the money in?
If it's a standard option or a forward contract, there's one day in the future where you get the payoff. A Treasury bill makes all its payment on a single date. It's a pure discount bond. So what's the duration of a Treasury bill? It's equal to maturity. Whenever something has a payoff only at one date, there's no distinction between maturity and duration.
I guess I was thinking if you had whatever your derivative was, if it wasn't a one-time payoff, you might be a four-year forward. Whatever it was, you get payments over a four-year period, you wouldn't want a four-year treasury.
The most sophisticated way would be to consider each interest rate and pair it with each payoff, and a less sophisticated way would be to, you're on the right track, to choose a single treasury bill that has the same maturity as the duration of the payoffs.